is going on, y'all? And thanks again for joining us here on this pre-Christmas episode of Expanded Perspectives.
Yeah, that's right.
I got Philly with me. We're going to knock this bad boy out.
Yeah.
We got funny. We've been laughing way too much before we started recording. So,
which is quite often the case.
Look, we do a lot of wild stuff that we'd like to discuss on here, but we can't record the bull. Some of it gets a little bit colorful.
Well, yeah, and you know, and when it gets replayed on radio stations and things like that, some of the stuff you can't really say, or you'll get fined and stuff, or they'll just drop you altogether. So, and with today's society, I mean, you got to be careful what you say because you could possibly offend almost anyone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a bunch of that stuff is best left unrecorded.
Yes.
When we're joking around with each other. But that's what happens when, you know, we have lifelong pals. You kind of pull up risque stuff to jokes and memes and things. And
send hateful things to each other.
We've got that one group on Instagram with me, you, and my brother. And there's like 8 to 12 things added to that every day. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are risque.
And your brother follows some pages because of what he does.
Right.
It doesn't bother him.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about like the
EMT
savage
pages and stuff.
Like savage paramedic. Oh, my God.
I don't need to see
There's
that,
like an
man.
Instagram dedicated to the most horrendous like degloving of hands and feet and fish hooks like in eyeballs, compound fractures. Yeah, man. I
like to pretend none of that happens.
I don't like to look at that stuff either. My wife is fascinated by it. I introduced her to that page, and she loves it. It's just there's certain people that can handle that stuff and others. So, you know, my hat's off to those EMTs and stuff, because if I had to show up and help you put a tourniquet around a geyser coming out of your leg, I would probably pass out. I'd be little to no help.
The first thing I'm going to tell you is you're probably going to die, because I don't know if I can get through this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's rough. But, yeah, so we had a lot of fun pre-button pushing. But, yeah, you're right. That is – I don't know how they do it. Any of y'all listening that work in any form or fashion of that.
First responders.
Any of the nurses, the doctors, EMTs. I don't know how. Mm-mm.
And then it becomes compounded even worse if it's like a child.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like if it's an old – I hate to be this way, but if you're like an old person – and you're bleeding out compared to a little child. I don't know, man. It's got to be.
You've had a good run.
Yeah, you had a right. You had a pretty good run.
You had a good run.
You had
right?
your time. Yeah,
yeah, you've been here long enough. Move out of the way. You've had a good run. That's the way I feel. Like at some points, I'm like, look, I'm not old, but I've had a pretty good run.
You know, I knew a girl one time that worked at Cook's Children's Hospital.
Just
you
one.
Know? And
how'd you know her? Biblically? Biblically?
What? Bibicky? What's
Bibicky?
That?
Did you know her biblically?
Yeah, I had the Bibicky sandwich down at Heim Barbecue. It's pretty good.
Fruit Loops. Go ahead.
But yeah, she worked at Cook's Children's Hospital in there. You know, all those kids dying and stuff. Mm-mm. I mean, that'd be rough, right? I couldn't handle that.
This is a great time of year to not only, like we always say, to express to those around you how much they do mean to you. Take a little extra time out to say it. But just to be thankful, man, just to really be thankful of everybody's health. Somebody I know's uncle just passed away yesterday. Just laid down, wasn't even that old, man. Was like in his 50s. Laid down, didn't get up. I'm like right here before Christmas, you know. It's just one of those things. It's sad. So it's one of those like you make sure you let everybody know how you feel, good or bad, about them. Get it off your chest. Don't keep that stuff hidden.
Right.
Speaking of hidden, Philly, real quick. Of course, we got some crazy stuff to discuss on this. I guess it's going to be an OTC, Christmassy, I don't know what all. But there's a Marine out here, a devil dog, says that he saw a Bigfoot in Connecticut.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
This is from Cryptozoology News, y'all. I know it's been a while. A Connecticut veteran says that he saw an unidentified biped. Now, he goes on. He doesn't provide his name or exactly where it was at, but he claims that he was walking in the woods with his son this past October. When this all went down, he says it was around 11:30 a.m., very bright and sunny. I was walking with my adult son. So there was a wall about 2 foot tall. He said, suddenly this black figure just showed up behind the wall. He said, now this black animal was about 5 foot tall, and at first I simply thought it was a bear. He goes on saying that this alleged animal was walking on two legs, and after about 5 seconds, just turned and walked into the woods. He goes on to say, I didn't see its face. But it had a cone-shaped head and no neck. It said a slim body with very black hair and long swinging arms and short legs. Now, he claims that the creature didn't run, but that it moved very fast. Now, look, the first thing I want to say is what he describes minus the head is a bear, the way a bear would move. Short legs, look like it's got long arms.
Right, but the conical-shaped head.
But the head, exactly, the head. I mean, because it's going to look slim. I mean, it looks fuzzy, but it's going to look slim. Like, you watch one stand up. They're not built like apes. So they don't have, like, narrow waist, big, wide shoulders, the way they kind of describe them. So this is one of those. It's weird. But only being 5 foot tall.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting.
That is interesting. And speaking of dark shapes being seen, a listener of ours named Gerald from Ohio had this to write in. He says, "Hey, I'm a big fan of the show. I'm a daily listener for about a year now. You always do a great job. And I have to be honest, this show is therapy because my encounter did something to me."
Oh, I don't want to hear this, man.
All right. He says, "I think my encounter will stick out to you because this happened in a mid-sized major city." Well, I'm just going to jump into the encounter. He says, "First off, this happened back in 2016. I'm not sure of the exact date, but I do know that it was cooler outside, possibly late fall, early winter. I live in Toledo, Ohio. And if you're not familiar with that area, it basically sits on the border of the Ohio-Michigan state line and about 15 to 20 minutes from the Indiana border. So around here, we just call it Northwest Ohio. Toledo is a very populated city, but it also has tons of woods in this forest-type area within the city limits. So even in the city, you'll see an occasional deer, a fox, skunks, basically all types of wildlife. To my knowledge, Toledo doesn't have any bears roaming around, especially in the city. This incident took place maybe a block away from our zoo. Toledo has one of the best zoos in the United States, but really, most people just go there for the Christmas lights display. At this time, I worked doing home health care, and so I would have to go to individuals' homes. I'd have to work inside of their homes for extended hours. My shift was from 2 to 11 p.m. Every night, when I was done, I would pick my girlfriend up from work around 9 p.m., and she would just sit with me at work while I finished my shift. Each night when we got back to my job or the house I was working at, I would tell my client to go unlock his house door and turn on the porch light so we could see. I know that seems pretty mean to do, but hey. So he gets out, unlocks the door while me and my girlfriend stayed behind in the car. Now back then, I had a 2006 Mercury Grand Marquis, and most cars have automatic headlights that turn off a few seconds after you turn the engine off. Not this car. This car actually had a toggle switch to manually turn the headlights on or off. So I hit the toggle switch to turn my headlights off. And I mean, as soon as I turned my headlights off, me and my girlfriend saw these two big things just dash down the street ahead. Like I said earlier in the story, I'm on a residential street, parked on the right-hand curb side, maybe a half a block, no more than 60 or 70 yards from the four-way stop ahead. My car is facing north at this point, and these two huge black things came from the east of that four-way stop, running west. Now, the directions those things ran were on direct path to the Wallbridge Park and the Maumee River. I'm sorry if this is hard to visualize all of this, but I'm trying my best. What makes this so scary is the feeling I had as soon as I saw them. I've listened to your show and heard people say that they have a feeling of dread, like their breath was being taken. They were surprised. I too felt this same way. I struggled to breathe. I didn't want to breathe too loud or anything. It was just all so odd. As far as the description, I didn't see any facial features or anything very specific, you know, like eye color, shape, lips, mouth, or a nose, but I did see a huge outline of two big things running on all fours. Although these things ran off on all fours, in my mind, I felt that it wasn't the natural way it got around, if this makes sense. I never saw them in a stationary position, so while running or galloping, it was at least 5.5, maybe 6 feet tall. The galloping and running motion was very elusive, and they were running in sync. From the outline, it was just a bulky, muscular mass, and I could tell this because from what I assume where its backs and shoulders, you could see huge lumps or muscle. Another odd fact was that these things looked to be running with their heads straight down like a raging bull, and something was sticking up from the neck or head area. This whole encounter only lasted about 5 or 7 seconds, but it was enough time to take about 3 gallops or strides. After seeing them, my girlfriend flipped out. I mean, she wasn't calm, but she didn't want to be in that car any longer. To be honest, we didn't really talk about it once we got inside the house. We had other encounters that made us revisit this one. If I saw these two things stand straight up, I'd have to guess they were between 8 and 11 feet tall. On all fours, it looked like a minivan, but bigger. Not as long as a van, just the pure size. I'd really like someone else to weigh in and tell me if they've had a similar encounter. Thanks for everything you do, Gerald Davis. Well, I mean, that's a creepy story, and it's what's odd is the things were running on all fours. I've heard that's the way Sasquatch get around. They don't always walk upright. I guess it could be bears. Sometimes bears appear in places where you wouldn't think that they would be. In fact, recently I just heard Forrest Galante doing a podcast where he was talking about there's actually Mexican grizzly bears, and it's farmers up in these little isolated pockets in the mountains have been telling people for years that their cattle have been being killed by something that's not a cat, and people dismiss them. But the most recent killing was in the 1960s. It's like a silver, if you want to look for like a silver Mexican grizzly bear. So that's what I'm bringing that up for, is this is a place in the world where people don't think that grizzly bears would be, yet they are. So although Toledo, Ohio may not seem to be a place where you would think bears would be, that doesn't mean that they couldn't slip down there and find their way there. Or it could have been something cryptid. I don't know. It was an interesting story. Also, Gerald, you'll find your story has been placed on the Phantoms of Monsters websites. Lots of times when people send us stories, if they're really good, we will forward them on to Lon Strickler. So you could read it over there as well. Cam, what do you think? Are you checking out the Mexican grizzly bear?
Yeah, I'm checking out the Mexican grizzly bears.
So this is in an area, and what Forrest was talking about, because like California used to be riddled with grizzly bears.
That's why it's on their flag.
Right, and so they were eradicated, but what they think was that these grizzlies just moved south, and that they're in these isolated pockets, and much like other animals, there's the Forest Department, you know, saying that they don't exist, but the farmers, the locals are like, yeah, they do.
Well, yeah. What's funny is reading the arguments online right quick of not only are they said that they're extinct, that they're 100% extinct, that they don't exist anymore. They tried to say that they're closer to the black bears that were found in Texas, New Mexico, things along those lines, than they are to the actual grizzlies in California. But then other people are like, no, this is just like the grizzlies in California. They just migrated and made their way down. I don't know why it's so hard to believe in animal migration.
I don't know
people
either.
People find crazy stuff all the time. Like, you're telling me that an animal just wouldn't? And I understand when they're used to an area. But when you have California, especially Southern California and Mexico, they once were all Mexico. It's bears don't know boundaries. Right, so, I mean, it's not a big problem.
You're in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It doesn't know that there's an invisible line. Now you're going. In Mexico.
Then all of a sudden it's easier to eat and kill stuff down here. You're like, man, hunting all this stuff's way easier than hunting the stuff in the mountains.
Well, and like the last documented kill, you can look at photographs, was in like 1964. That's not that long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
50 years?
That they try to say. Yeah, it's very strange. This is a very interesting thing. I do remember, and I think I've told about this on the show, is I had a buddy of mine that was hunting in South Texas and actually has a video of like one of the Mexican black bears. It's got like the big white stuff, like the V on its chest. He's filming. And this is back when it was actual film. Like it was a big over the shoulder VHS video camera back in the day. And he's hunting a tripod over a big feeder pen area. Right. And it's down there south of, there's like javelina and turkey and deer. I mean, there's everything. So he's filming it up in this big cedar tree in his tripod stand, and something comes over the hill, and it's one of those bears, and it comes down and starts eating the corn and like literally like lapping at the corn and pawing at the feeder, and he gets the whole thing. And of course, now it's illegal to kill them. You can't shoot them in Texas, but it was one of those like just getting the chance to witness that would be amazing to see one.
Well, and this, it reminds me of all the work that Mike Mays does, where yep. people and forest rangers and Texas Parks and Wildlife will tell you that black panthers do not exist in Texas. They did it one time, but not any longer. But if you go to Mike Mays' Texas Cryptid Hunter website, there's pictures from game cameras, people taking personal cameras, of black panthers. I mean, they're all over the place. I know that the Arizona State University was doing like a study, or maybe it was just Arizona, and they were capturing jaguars that had come up through Mexico and were in Arizona. Again, these species aren't supposed to be here, but yet they are. And, you know, there's large ranchers and stuff that have private collections. We talk mm-hmm. about this all the time, from like Pablo Escobar to other crime syndicates having possums, hippopotamuses and stuff like that. You know, he had his own zoo. Do you think that if some guy was wild and had a couple of tigers or something like that, a hyena, and and one got loose, would you report it? Probably not. You'd probably be like, well, I ain't going to say anything. Maybe it'll just show back up.
Well, look at so many people just let stuff go.
That's what I'm saying.
In Florida, just, it is what it is. Let's just let it be. I would like to hope that they're not letting tigers go, but you and I both know a story told to us by a fellow that said that a dude he hunted with saw one.
100%.
Yeah.
So this guy was out hunting.
Went to his rifle stand, got up in his rifle. No, he was bow hunting.
It was during bow season.
Yeah, bow season. It was right before rifle season. All he had was his bow. Got up in his bow stand, lock on stand, and heard something about 70 yards from the feeder and said it was a full-grown tiger.
Bengal tiger.
Came down the trail at about 70 yards and stood there for about a minute looking around and then made its way on off or something into the brush.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So, like, say you had a feline sanctuary on your property.
No, thank you.
I'm just saying, and you were raising these things as well as other animals, and one day one got out. Now, would you call it in? Or would you be like, well, hopefully it comes back home because it gets hungry?
Well, even if you call fish and game, like what? First of all, if it's an illegal animal,
well, that's what
you
I'm
don't
saying.
Say a word about it. Well, you're just like, hope it don't get nobody.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. You didn't go down to PetSmart and buy it. Like you probably, a lot of these guys, I'm sure, are illegally buying these things. If one got loose, you're just like, well, good luck.
Can you imagine?
It's not tagged. It's not chipped. I mean, if it mauls somebody, it's like, I don't know. Did you hear about that? Man, that's crazy.
Didn't you have it? No, man. I didn't have no tiger.
But right? It could happen. So that's why some of these cryptid sightings, people are like, well, it kind of looked like a hyena. Maybe it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's not paranormal. Maybe it was. There's not supposed to be bears. But maybe they were.
Well, and like I talked about the red wolf coyote blend that's down there outside of Houston. It's down along the coast now that they've been working. It doesn't look like a regular coyote. Maybe somewhere along the lines, they was, like you said, with a hyena. Maybe if you had them in, I don't know, I'm not saying that they're breeding with anything. What I mean is like, I don't know how they work, but maybe if you had them in captivity and you're buying them like drug dealers, there has to be, and I'm picturing this, there has to be like a drug dealer animal, like place, like an animal ranch or animal safari that only drug dealers know about. And that's where they go to buy their animals.
Yeah. It used to be Pablo's place. Right, right.
And it's just all like, oh, what do you need today? Do you need some jaguars? Come on down here. We got some. And they raise them like, you know what I mean? So maybe there's smaller versions of a hyena. Like it's not a true version. Maybe it's been raised in captivity two or three generations. So they're not quite as big. So as you see them, they look like a hyena, but they're not as huge as an African hyena.
So let me ask you this. If you were a giant drug
czar?
Czar, yes, yeah. Like Pablo Escobar, yeah. El Chapo, whatever. What would be your go-to display animal? If you could get, you know, money's not an object. What would you have to be like, oh, yeah, you got that? Check this out.
Like a pet, like, well, I don't know why you got to be like that, but I like that. Check this out. So
I think a thylacine, like you, like now that people are balling. Looking for him.
That's
I got
balling.
One. He's got a diamond crusted collar.
No, he's got a grill. Yeah. My thylacine's got a grill. And you would keep like your blow in the thylacine's pouch. You'd like call it up and then hit you a little key bump.
Or would you
send it on its way?
Would you have somebody like you'd pay money to have somebody genetically reverse engineer and have like a giant sloth bred or a short-faced bear is your pet, or an Irish elk. I don't know.
Man, you are throwing up some solid.
That's a good question.
You know what I would like to have?
What? What's that?
I would like to have the short-faced bear reverse engineered, but blended, right? Right. Blended with koalas. So it's a short-faced bear, but only as big as a koala.
Yeah.
So like a tiny evil, like it's like a Tasman. Maybe I should just get a Tasmanian devil and not go through all that work.
We can talk to Chris Copeland.
I'd get Chris to give me some. Yeah.
Speaking of Tasmanian devils and thylacines and stuff.
And Australia burning up.
Oh, my
Jesus,
God.
Jesus, right?
I know.
Hope y'all are all right down
Please
there.
Please be careful. We have several friends that live in Australia. Dalee, my wife, her cousin, Morgan, lives in Sydney. So anyways, on the same show, I was listening to Forrest talk about the Mexican grizzly bears. He also brought up a story about the chupacabra, specifically in America. And it turns out that in the early 20th century, they were bringing this was before the thylacines were extinct, right?
Okay.
They had them on a ship. They were bringing them to America.
Thylacines,
to put it in like a zoo or to study or something. Something happened, the ship wrecked, and they believed that two thylacines were turned loose in America or something like that. And it wasn't too long after that the chupacabra sighting started happening. So he thinks that some of the early chupacabra sightings might have actually been thylacines that escaped into North America.
I hope that's really a true story, because that just sounds cool.
Right? I love the stories of like the trains derailing and like
animals getting loose.
Orangutans being run loose or whatever.
Like I told everybody, and I have received so many messages from y'all, either on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, about the snow monkeys that I talked about with
the ones bathing. Is that the one you're
No, the ones with Nolan Ryan telling the story of the snow monkeys.
I'd never heard that story. I thought you were completely making it up, because that happens quite a bit when listening to you tell tall tales. But it's true. Yeah, I went and looked after we got off the
snow
air,
monkeys.
And it was a pretty cool story.
A thylacine, that's your baller animal that you go to.
That would be a cool one. Now, if you want to go like really on the gangster tip where you're like just crossbreeding and I don't know.
A liger?
That's pretty cool. But I liked your idea with the smaller animal, because a liger requires a lot of meat. But then again, money's not an object.
Yeah, but it's work. If you're doing it yourself, are you going to hire somebody to do it? So then it's really not fun unless you're involved in it.
That's what I'm saying.
I would like to ride a liger like into a meeting.
When you become Pablo Escobar rich, like, you know, you're literally burning stacks of money in your fireplace.
I'm
just
Rick
to
James.
Keep warm. I mean, you have to start doing crazy stuff, right? Because life becomes so boring.
I think if I had to pick pets, though, mine would be water-based. Like, I like aquariums.
You hate
like
water. Why would you pick water-based?
I like to look at it. I don't want to get in it. I like to drink it. I like to bathe in it. I don't want to swim in it.
I got you. So maybe like a narwhal, one of those things that's got those huge spike on the top of it.
Like the guy that used the narwhal tusk or whatever it is, horn, to defend those people on the stabbings over there in the UK.
What?
You didn't see that?
No, I don't know what you're
on
talking
about.
On
the London Bridge where those people got stabbed by that dude and ended up passing away.
He had a narwhal horn?
Took like a narwhal horn. I'm sure there's people right now just screaming. Oh, hold on. I'm going to find this.
Well, where was he at a museum and he stole it? Like, where would you just find that?
That is a great story that I don't have the answer to, but I will find it.
Because you're talking about a mammal that lives in the Arctic. Like, how would it even find its way to the UK? Like, what a bizarre thing to try to strike people with. And see.
Right here. All right, I'm going to read. This comes from NBC News 3 days ago.
Oh, okay.
It says, bystander who used narwhal tusk to stop London terror attack speaks out.
Oh, so he fought off terrorists. Well, good job.
Says, I hope that the part I played in these terrible events can be used for good. The fellow's name is Darren Frost.
Man, thanks, Darren.
Said he used a narwhal tusk to fight off a knife-wielding suspect. I'm going to try to click on this with...
Does it say why he had a narwhal tusk in his pocket?
I'm trying
pocket?
To find the narwhal, like,
I mean,
how he got it.
I mean, because that's, like, really rare, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, it wasn't like he used a pine cone or he used a twig. I mean, something that's naturally occurring all over the place. A narwhal tusk. I mean...
Listen to how they put this on there. It says, video posted to social media from eyewitnesses appeared to show at least three men chasing after the suspect, pinning him to the ground. One appeared to charge at him with an antique tusk of a narwhal. Yeah. I can't find where it come, but I really need to look into that. But yes. So look, you're never going to outdo a fella saving people's lives with a narwhal tusk.
No, I'm beginning instead of concealed carry.
Here we go.
I'm keeping a pocket knife. Maybe I need to get me a narwhal tusk.
Darren Frost, 38, was attending the event. So what is this event? Some prisoner, an event for a prisoner rehabilitation program in Fishmongers Hall. This is in a historic building adjacent to London Bridge. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was attending the event and among the bystanders who jumped into action when this fella started stabbing folks. Okay.
Yeah.
He said, we heard the noise from the floor below and a few of us rushed to the scene. Says this South African-born civil servant who has lived in Britain for 14 years. This is what he's talking about. He said, I took a narwhal tusk from the wall and used it to defend myself and others from the attacker.
Okay, well, that makes sense. See, it was being displayed. Because I'm like, who just walks around with a narwhal tusk in their jacket?
All I know is that dude, Darren, is a badass. And look, first of all, quick thinking, hats off to him. Snatch that narwhal tusk off there and lay a ass whooping on somebody with it.
Yeah. I mean, he saved a bunch of people.
What's worse, getting beat up with a narwhal tusk? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's another one of those. I'm not going any further. But yeah, that's, yeah. Maybe, you know what? I think I want a narwhal.
A pet narwhal.
I think if I'm going to be the baller drug dealer, I want a pet narwhal.
That'd be pretty cool. I do like your koala thing. Oh, yeah. Koala-sized, short-faced bear.
Yeah, I think that would be the way. Something that's just, I mean, adorable, but also extremely volatile. And, of course, those koalas, don't they have syphilis or something like that?
I don't know, but I've heard that they're real assholes. Like, well, they look cute and cuddly.
Well, the one where they're wet. I'm hoping that that's...
I heard in real life, like, they're a pain in the ass. Like, they're terrible creatures. They just look cute and cuddly, but they're in the real, they're not very nice.
So they're a lot like us. Is what
I don't even look cute.
I did not know there was, yes. I think they got some sort of STD, right? Now, how they got it, I don't know. I don't want to know. That's their business. But
they just lay around and eat eucalyptus all day?
Yeah, and just look mad when they get wet. Yeah. Although, like, when you see them in those fires and people are trying to put them out, that's, I mean, I feel terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel terrible for that.
But I want my short-faced bear to be cute like those, but also on the side that it might snap at any minute. So you never know.
Lose a digit or two.
Yeah, you might lose
be
a
on
finger.
Savage paramedics.
You remember the old video where the, looks like a Russian dude with a big, looks like a younger Ricky Skaggs with a huge mustache and a karate gi has got a bear? You remember that?
Yeah.
And that Ricky woman sets Skaggs. Down, the woman that looks like a librarian or lunch lady exactly. or an office aide, and she sets beside it, and the bear turns.
It's like a Russian video.
Oh, it's straight. It's 100% Russian. And that bear looks at her, and it's like in total surprise, like he didn't know she just showed up, and how he put the ass whoop on her. That's how I want my short-faced bear to live, is to be like that.
Did you ever see the guy that worked at like Gatorland or somewhere in Florida, and he's like feeding it chickens and playing around?
Being cute when it grabs him?
Snaps his arm and rolls about six times.
Yeah.
That arm comes off. Yeah.
Like, that looked like me trying to get the leg off of a turkey at Thanksgiving.
I'm like, look, there's not a lot of things I know. People who listen to this show, you know that. But there are a few. Don't sit next to a bear. Don't get in a pen with a crocodilian. You know, these are things that it's such a human tendency to the trainer to tell you, oh, don't worry, he's nice. I've had that happen with me with my job. You go to a residence, I'm looking at their house, and they're like, you got any dogs? You're like, yeah, but don't worry, he's nice. Then you get in the backyard and it's, you know, right. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. He's nice to you.
Yeah.
See, because you're the owner. Yeah. I'm not.
That's how this works.
I won't even go back there until they lock the dogs up. Because I had a girl that worked my office. She actually got attacked by a dog in somebody's yard. Same kind of deal. You know, she turned her back to it and it was just like a red heeler or something. But
those
still,
healers are real bad heel nippers like that.
You know, but I mean, she had to get stitches and stuff and some shots. I don't know what they give you. Rabies shots.
I'm sure.
But you know what I mean? So, yeah. Back to what you were saying.
I think that's the move, though, is to have something that's really big and scary miniaturized.
Yeah. And don't.
So it's not so big and scary.
Don't feed crocodiles or whatever. Have you ever seen the video where how many of these videos have you seen where people are trying to take selfies and stuff and they back up to like a panda cage?
And something gets them?
And then they just pulls them in. Yeah.
That's funny.
Or lions.
Yeah. Stay away from that. Look, they put two fences there for a reason. follow the rules, things won't happen.
But do they even need the sign? Do they even need the sign?
Apparently, yeah, because people jump it all the time.
Right? But I mean, if you see a 500-pound cat, you don't need to tell me. Don't go in there.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good, bro.
Because I see how fast my 5-pound cat moves. Right?
All right, let's take a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to discuss with Kyle some crazy mantis man stuff that I think is interesting.
Let's do
it. Let's take a quick break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Now, quickly jump into this real quick. We won't stay at this long because there's so much that this would take a while to break down.
About the insectoids?
And the praying mantis man. It started, okay, so Kyle and I, you know, we talked about giant spiders and giant insects, and that's where it all started. And then I went down the rabbit hole thinking about the insect people, but really thinking about, I thought after insect people, like they're just there all the time.
Yeah.
I remembered, and I think I've even discussed on the show a long time ago, about the praying mantis man up there in Hackettstown, New Jersey.
Yes.
So it took place, like I said, back in 2011. Now, there was more than one sighting of it up there, which is, it's interesting, nonetheless, because it was like in 2011 or something, but it was like a few years in a row, which is getting kind of weird, like you and I had talked about with everything going on still with the Chicago Mothman, where they still see these humanoids up around Chicago and all around the Illinois area. So that's kind of what, you know, was going down that. So for those that are that don't know, I'll tell you a real quick story. This was posted up and it took place, like I said, in Hackettstown, New Jersey. There's a river and Muscontong, what is it? Muscontong? Who the hell knows how to pronounce this? Mekong, I don't know what this is.
I'm pretty sure that's not it.
Muscontong. Muscontong. You're pretty sure that's not the Muscontong River? Yeah. It is today. And the story says, here it's on the West Bank borders at Route 46, a local highway. But the East Bank, where we were fishing, borders fields and farmlands. And this is what was written. No bank to speak of on the developed side. Now, Lon had posted this up a long time ago Lon's got so much humanoid and insectoid that if you can think of something wild, he's researched it or got people that have seen or dealt with. So that's where this started originating from whenever I started looking into humanoids. If I ever look into humanoids, I send Lon an email and I always like, hey, what do you got, man? What do you got going on? So we'll BS and then he'll send me this link and then it just starts and we go crazy. So here's this whole thing. It says, no bank to speak of on the developed side, but the sloping bank on the rural side was high, about 10 feet. What was that? Somebody fired a shot. See? It says, a strip of trees about 10 to 20 yards thick separated the river from the fields beyond, but there was the occasional path, each about 20 yards wide, that allowed clear access to the river. Goes on saying, like I mentioned, the weather had been bad the previous several days, and the sky was white and heavy. It was mid-afternoon. When I saw the mantis man, it was in one of these gaps, moving back up the bank towards the fields, looking back at me over its left shoulder about 15 or 20 yards away. So I understand that it was several feet above me as I looked up at it, and framed clearly against the blank white sky. It says it was indeed clear, but nevertheless nearly transparent and fading fast. It evaporated mid stride. Goes on to say that again, I stress the strong impression that the mantis man was cloaked and I caught it just right. It abruptly found itself against the new bank blank or new background and was just adjusting quickly. So I don't believe it slipped into another dimension or plane. So
maybe that's what these Glimmer Man sightings.
That's what are. I got back into. We were talking about the Predator. We were talking about maybe in reality it is these things.
An extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial
yep.
coming from somewhere else. and it's trying to use its cloaking device to be unseen, but sometimes it's malfunctioning or it gets seen, right?
Yeah, and maybe it's maybe, I mean, if it's an insect, yeah, maybe it's not technology. Maybe it actually is like a physiological adaptation from wherever they're from that physically allows them to change in our light spectrum, do something. Maybe these things are crystal based or what, you know what I mean? I know this is crazy, but it sounds, look, I had never, like I told you, I'd never thought about this till we start going down this path of this is, you know, this whole thing of this is what we're looking at.
Yeah. And when I was doing research on like the Glimmer Man and things like that in a previous episode, what I found was there's like quite a bit of actual videos, but they're not labeled as the Glimmer Man or the Predator. They're labeled as like Sasquatch videos. So there'll be like some label. It doesn't matter if it says Bigfoot or whatever, where I guess these people who capture this think that Bigfoot is cloaking itself. But I don't think that it's Bigfoot. I think it's something different. But if you start searching that kind of stuff on YouTube, man, there's some compelling videos of people, and they show it where like it's in the woods, you can see it moving, and man, I'm telling you, it looks like the Predator, like the way when he's cloaked that way, it doesn't physically look like him, but
yeah,
the shape of a humanoid shape, but yet cloaked. And I wonder whoever wrote the movie Predator, if they had read an article about this or seen something that led them. I mean, I realize it was pre YouTube, but cause it's uncanny how similar it is. I mean, obviously there's going to be some people who saw the Predator and then they're making they're hoaxing it. But some of these sightings, they don't look hoaxed to me. It doesn't look like CGI. Doesn't look like somebody's doing something with a green screen. It looks like some kind of, for a better word, alien technology.
Well, 100%. And it's one of those things that we've all dreamed of. What if you could be invisible, or what if you could be, especially as a hunter, you always want to be like, man, it would, the ultimate would be to be invisible.
Yeah.
But I mean, it helps. Smell is the one thing. Like if you could pick to be invisible to hunt or to have zero scent, I think you could rather have zero scent would be the easiest way to deal with it, because you can defeat things' eyes. That's how magic happens. I'm going to break it to you that the David Copperfield's not really doing magic. He's tricking your eyes.
Right, sleight of hand.
Exactly. So it is, there's something to this invisible stuff that you and I have discussed. There's something to it.
Right, so some of it I think is technology that the military has.
Could we have gotten it from these things, or could we have taken it?
That's a good question. Did we develop it on our own? Or, you know, like when Lazar was working there at S4, did they find like an equipment room? And in that room, there was these, I don't know, suits that you could put on that, you know, with what I'm saying, they gave him this ability and that led us to development. I don't know if you watch things like cephalopods, like octopuses and things, they very good at cloaking themselves, right? Like you could lay one on a topo map or whatever, and it's gonna try to mimic that the best it can, you know. And do we have the technology to do that? I don't know. It's quite possible. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. But if you're gonna go around and test it out on unknown citizens, that you're playing a risky game, right?
Yes,
like whatever. Just somebody just started opening fire on this thing.
If you startled someone.
Yeah, like a hunter.
Yeah.
There's several cases of hunters talking about seeing these things. In fact, I heard a clip not too long ago of a woman, Cameron. I believe this was like in Michigan or Wisconsin or something. She's a female hunter, and she was up in her tree stand, and she swears to God what she saw looked like the Predator, like Glimmer Man. I know what it was. It was on the end of David Politis's new movie, The Hunted, about the missing hunters.
I remember you telling me this, yeah.
Yeah, it was a clip from that. I'll have to see if I can locate that and play that on a future episode. But yeah, are these things from another dimension? Are these things from another planet? Or is it secret technology that the United States or somebody on Earth has developed? But you would think you would think that we'd be implementing it.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem that we do. You know what I mean? Like if you could pull that off where you looked almost invisible like the Predator, wouldn't like SEAL Team 6 use that?
You would
because
think.
Instead of going skydiving in at night or going swimming underwater at night, because you know, they do it at night because they don't want to be seen. But if you could like just blend in.
Imagine parachuting down and being completely invisible.
And your parachute is made out of the same material.
Yeah, you're completely invisible.
Yeah. Right? And you could just, I mean, talk about.
Or not even that. You could legitimately just get in the car and ride with somebody and they just open the door and let you out at the embassy. And you go and do whatever you need to do. You're invisible.
I talk about like Ocean's 15. You want to talk about bank robbery? If you could just blend in,
but you don't blend in perfectly.
Not
you know,
perfectly.
I think that's what makes. But even then, you would think if you had that kind of technology, you would find a way to blend in perfectly. But maybe that shows that the way that light bending technique works is it doesn't. It's not perfect because you can't really in physics do what they're doing already.
Right. Now, you know, if you're a company like Realtree or Sitka, Kuyu or First Light, I mean, the first thing they could get their hand on that kind of camo.
Oh, right.
That's a game changer.
Oh, for real.
Changing the game.
The problem is you'd have to wear special glasses because you could lay it down and lose it. When you'd be outside in the woods, you'd be like, where'd I put my coat? Damn. Look around.
Never thought of that.
You just like, shit, you don't want to put it like on a belt or a phone case. You're like, oh, man, hit the beeper. We got to find the phone again. Yeah, it'd be like that. But it's not. Okay, look, I'm going to read y'all this again. Here's near Medford, New Jersey from 1962. All right?
All right, yeah.
1962. It says the pregnant witness was on her way to see a doctor and was on a well-traveled road when she happened to glance up at the sky and saw a huge purple moon-like object. She pulled over to get a better look. The object seemed to fade out and become another color. It turned from purple to blue, green to orange, and then to silver. Goes on and says it kept spinning, all right, and fading out. Next thing she knew, she was at her doctor's office at, it says, 1930 hours. Her face had acquired a suntan-like burn. Years later, under hypnosis, she was able to remember more of what happened. Apparently, she was taken inside a craft in what looked like a large eye that opened up under the craft. Inside, she was in a small white room where she was pushed against the wall by a creature resembling a praying mantis.
Jeez.
There was a metallic slab behind her. Two short, white, pale creatures with large black eyes then dressed her. She was told that she would not be harmed, apparently by telepathy. A reptilian-like creature now entered the room. She was then led through the craft when she passed a black room. She felt that it was not a comfortable place to be, so she also passed a gold room. She wanted to go there, but was told that she was not ready. Says the next room was small and pale and pink in color. Says the room contained 20 incubators, 10 on top, 10 on bottom. She was shown what appeared to be a petri dish with embryos. In the 20th incubator, she saw a baby with a very large head with aqua-colored slanted eyes. His hair was very sparse. The witness felt an immense love towards this apparent hybrid baby. There appeared to be creatures resembling tadpoles in these petri dishes. Each incubator had a fetus and in a more developed state. And when she looked into the 20th incubator, it's when she saw a baby reptilian-like creature. The whole time, two short, pale-eyed creatures and tall reptilian accompanied her. Goes on to say that later she was led to a pale, yellow, large room resembling a courtroom. It was very misty inside, and at the point the reptilian creature left her side, she was then led to the front of the room by the two shorties, and then she saw seven beings, all wearing cloaks. One looked human, one looked alien, one was tall, good-looking, of, you ready, Nordic appearance.
I love the Nordics.
That seemed to be the leader, and he told her that she was judged, tested, and passed. She had no idea what he alluded to, and at one point she looked at the Nordic humanoid at an angle, and he looked like a hologram. Then she noticed what appeared to be small, thin wire going into her arm. She heard strange sounds, and a tall, blonde humanoid told her, and then said that they gave her this knowledge and that she would know what to do when the time was right.
Don't you think she felt good about herself, too? She passed the test. You don't even have to know what the test is, but they tell you you passed. You feel good. You're like, yes.
She passed the test, all right. Can you look, that's a wild, I hope, for all that is safe and sacred in this entire universe that story's fake, because I don't want to think about crazy reptilian hybrids and mantis beings, and I don't want to think
about the Nordics,
that.
Though. Would you be cool with the Nordics?
They seem pretty cool. I don't, but you know what? You can't trust them.
They make a really good stair stepper, and they make a real good.
Is that the company? That's probably it, isn't it? Yeah, you're right.
I think so. That's so good. It's alien technology. Yeah. What is it? The Nordic Track?
The Nordic Track.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I think. Yeah, you're right.
And then now they got the.
They make good exercise equipment. So apparently they make really good like UFOs. That's where they got their start. Was making propulsion devices to bring you across the universe, and then they got into stair steppers and cross-country skiing equipment like that.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it was. It was the cross-country skiing.
Yeah.
Now there's the Peloton. Now there's the one, the mirror. Have you seen this one?
You just stand in front of it and feel shame?
No, that's what you would think. But no, it's like it connects you to somebody doing like a class, and you stand in front of the mirror. Wait
a minute, so it's like a hologram you're supposed to keep up with.
Something like that. I'm like, no. You don't want that in your house.
Now they can really spy on you.
Yeah. What's you think Siri's bad,
right? And Alexa, you want to just tape one of those to the mirror so you can get naked, so they can make sure they get your weight, your height, your exact body appearance is exactly what they're doing. They're scanning your body like a photograph, and then that way they have you now, every little nook and cranny about you, and everybody's willingly spitting into a glass and sending it in. Who am I growing up after? We don't know if any of that is stuff's true.
Is this this conspiracy rant brought to you by Native.
You're right.
They've seen the Alexa thing you can put in your car now.
Not doing it.
I had my insurance company call me up and ask me if I wanted to place a chip in my car.
And you're a noose.
And they could monitor everything, how safe I'm driving. Like, I was like, well, how does that work? They tell you exactly your speeds, how aggressively you're braking or turning. I'm like, no, that sounds horrible. They're like, yeah, but we'll give you like 20% off your bill. I'm like, and listen, lady.
But what I mean is that sounds horribly awesome.
I do a lot of speeding. I do a lot of aggressive turning. I do a lot of serious braking. You're going to make my rates go up.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Everything you just listed is how I have fun.
Right? All right. Back to the mantis. I'm just so terrified about the size of the thing. Like a 6-foot-tall praying mantis. Because I don't know if you've seen the videos, but like praying mantises, they're so small, but they can jack like hummingbirds.
Well, what's funny is
voles. I mean, these things, they're serious. Imagine one that's 6-foot-tall, just rip you in half.
Well, a lot of people recall seeing these things, not like out in the woods like this, but after like a regression. Like they're not necessarily witnessing also, them like we were talking
there's
about.
There's also like a pecking order too. Like it seems like insectoids, mantis beings. Then above them is the reptilians. And then of course at the top are the Nordics.
Right.
That's the pecking order.
I'm looking, where did I have this other one? I've got another wild one. Like if they weren't wild enough. Well, here you go right here. This is some 1994 in Nevada. Nevada. Stillwater, Nevada. Said the witness and his wife were driving under a slight rain in an isolated area when they saw what appeared to be an accident off to the side of the road. It looked like an accident because there were a lot of flashing lights around the site. Curious, the witness slowed down to see if he could help, and as they came closer, they saw what they thought was an ambulance, but it turned up, or supposed to be out, to be an object resembling a large soda can lying on its side and resting on three legs. It was a weird sort of creamy color, but with bright red halos around it, flashing lights could be seen all around the object. As they watched fascinated, his wife suddenly let out a blood-curdling scream. The witness turned around and saw two what he perceived to be aliens coming towards the car. These were described as bug-like, with their heads looking like a giant praying mantis.
Ugh.
They had humanoid-looking bodies, however, and wore bluish-gray jumpsuits. The terrified witnesses, who were armed with a gun, pulled it out and fired two shots towards the road in front of the figures. Well, that's awful sweet. Give them warning shots. This must have startled the humanoids, which suddenly ran back to their landed cylinder-shaped object. At this point, the witness began speeding away from the area. Looking back, he saw additional similar-appearing humanoids standing around the craft, about 9 or 10 of them. They did not see the object depart. Okay. I want to add two things to this. One, maybe it wasn't a mantis. Maybe that's the way their space helmets look.
Right. That's true.
And two, maybe that was just a space bachelor party. They landed because somebody had to pee or had gotten sick, more than likely pulled over to pee. They were just like, hey, come and ask directions. Some dude that was strapped pulled out that Glock, ripped a few rounds off, and you know they're probably like, that's why I told y'all not to land here. This planet is messed up.
Right? Stay strapped or get clapped. That's what this guy was living. Heck yeah. Although I don't know about the warning shots. You should have just fired directly on him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's awful sweet of the whole deal. But I really do think if there are aliens coming by here, we are literally, like, they come here like you would go to, like, a state fair and watch, like, turtle races or something. Like, they come down here like, this place is just something else. Like, this whole thing is like a...
And snappy dressers, too. They wear blue jumpsuits and cloaks.
And that's another thing. What if we found out that we actually, they come down here for fashion tips and advice? In all the universe, we're the best known at fashion. But everything else, we're like, these monkeys know how to dress, man, but we cannot trust them. We go down there.
There's people with they're
nail bottoms
on, parachute pants. They got the Thriller jacket.
Yeah.
You got to think about with one glove.
You got to think about how awesome. I mean, look, this planet as a whole has some pretty awesome fashion, right? We got to be the best at fashion in all the universe.
Like the big top hats, like on the Gangs of New York. I wish that didn't go out of style, right?
Yeah, I do like the big top hats. I'm not going to lie. I liked the parachute pants.
I know.
They were comfortable, man.
It's so long ago. I sometimes think that I dreamt that happened. You know what I mean?
Because
you could still find jeans or bell bottoms at like thrift stores and stuff. Yeah. I ain't seen a pair of parachute pants. Not at Goodwill, like not at a yard sale.
Would you buy them if you found some?
Hell yeah. Somebody in a yard sale goes up in the attic and finds a box and there's 30 pair of parachute pants. Have you ever seen your eyes?
No.
I think this is like the Mandela effect. I think that's an alternate reality that they don't really exist because I've never seen an old pair ever. I remember it in my mind.
I had like two pairs,
a gray pair
and a black pair.
Yeah.
You know what? It's probably because they didn't last long because it was just nylon.
Yeah, of course. But they'll protect you from wild animals and stuff. People sleep in them all the time.
The tents.
Yeah, they always think they're safe. Zip the tent door up. We don't want anything to get us.
Yeah.
What?
That's basically just,
I don't know how thin that is?
Yeah. That's just a little bit tougher cellophane is all it is. I guess that's like wrapping cigarettes in cellophane going, well, then nobody's going to smoke those. You're like, nah, player. We can still get in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, but a bear carries things with its face. Yeah. It's coming in. It ain't knocking.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they're very gentle. Like, you ever see them, like, rocking a car?
Banging on a door, scratching?
Yeah. They're not very gentle.
Yeah, no.
Anyway,
so maybe, look, all jokes aside, I think I feel more now like that this, I feel more now that this whole Glimmer Man stuff is extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
More now than I thought. It may be us testing stuff. It may be people messing around and all this. But now, given where they see them, and like you said, even with Sasquatch, maybe it is. Well, even involved in maybe it's not the Sasquatch. Maybe it is more of an extraterrestrial or something like this doing something like that as they. Because you would think if it was Sasquatch related, you would think every Sasquatch could do it. You follow me?
Yeah, right. Like that's something they have. Like like on a previous episode just recently, one of the guys that had an encounter claimed that they have a gland like a skunk, the Sasquatch do, and they can, you know, produce some terrible foul odor, and that's what people are experiencing when they're in the woods. They're like, man, it smells like something dead or
like beaver caster, but only bad.
Yeah,
right. I got you.
You know, hence the name Skunk Ape. It smelled like rotting trash.
Nothing like getting sprayed by a Bigfoot, right?
Now, they didn't say anything about getting sprayed, but they just said that they have that, you know, as a self-defense mechanism. I don't know. This is an animal that's not been proven to be real. This guy knows about the glands it has.
My hat's off to you if you know about Bigfoot gland.
Right?
Like, you got closer to Bigfoot than I want to go to. I feel like it's more extraterrestrial now. And I hate to say that, but it does feel like all this Glimmer Man stuff is more like, and we've even, I think, discussed it, is it's like a probing.
I mean,
not that kind of probing, but like a black ops probing group that's going and gathering intel, right?
Right.
And like we just discussed what we would love to do if we had that kind of stuff. I think these extraterrestrials could be using it for that.
Yeah, my mind when it comes to extraterrestrials is 100% concrete at this point. I believe in it. You know, we talk about so many things, especially after some of the things that I've heard this year from the Bob Lazar film and the Bob Lazar interview, as well as Commander David Fravor and stuff. And I'll get to that in the outro portion. Anyways, moving on.
Well, there's, okay, I'm going to read this one to you. Hold on, let me drag this bad boy. There is so much, like I said, that we could find that you can keep going, but here we go. There was a possible third sighting, all right, that happened. Now, this was still on the same thread as the Mantis Man, but this was back in 2014 when Lon actually got this. And this says that I saw something strange a few weeks ago on the Mekong River. I'm going to start calling it the maybe it's the Mekong, but it's the Mekong River near my home in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Okay?
Okay.
Said I was driving home from the drugstore on Newburgh Road, and as I drove near the bridge on the river, I noticed to my left something that I thought a fisherman standing in the river just off the south bank. I slowed the car and looked closer. It wasn't a person, and it was transparent, like with a weird shape. It moved slowly towards the bank and into the trees. I drove further so I could see it coming out of the trees, and that's the last I saw of it. It was tall, 8 foot or so. It had long, thin arms hanging off of it. The color was a pale brown, but I could see through it. The head was small compared to the body. It was sunny that day, so I thought it maybe was a glare from the water. But after I thought back, I realized I wasn't seeing a mirage or a glare. So I got on the internet and checked and didn't see anything about it. I mentioned it to a coworker in my office at lunch on Wednesday, and he gave me the strangest look. And I thought, uh-oh, he thinks I'm nuts. We went back to his computer, and he brought up this Hackettstown's forum with the Mantis Man witness, and your information was there. So I decided to contact him. And so that's what, so she's posting the same thing and ended up sending a picture of where she saw it at, of this river and the little bridge and all of this stuff, of this whole thing. So.
But like you brought up earlier, could it be like a helmet of some kind, which gives the illusion that it's an insect when really it's not?
Yes.
You know, like think of the Star Wars comes to mind. Remember when Princess Leia went to meet Jabba the Hutt?
Yes.
And returned to Jedi. Remember she had the different helmet and stuff? She was in disguise.
Yes.
Maybe it's something like that where it's not really an insect. It's just an extraterrestrial with an insect-looking helmet. Or, I mean, if you're going to think about alien, what looks more alien than freaking a praying mantis?
Oh, well, you're right. Nothing looks any crazy than an insect. An insect is going to look more alien and more foreign than anything.
Spider beings.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear all these stories.
And what do they always say? That people believe that the insects, if you were going to travel through space, it's actually better to be insect-like than the way we are. Like, we could never really properly do it.
Right. Look how strong an ant is. Mm-hmm. And look how tiny it is. You ever see them, like, carrying things?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Acorns and stuff? I mean,
all the stuff. I forgot what the weight difference is. I'd have to look it up. They tell you how strong they are compared to their body size.
Yeah.
But it does. And maybe, like we've said, maybe that's a suit. Like, you look at these mech suits that we used to laugh about when we were kids with a Robotech and watch all that and how cool that was. If you really look at the suits, think of the suits that they had working with on Alien, or Aliens, rather, when Ripley's right. It looks more insect-like, but it's still sectional. You know what? You follow me? Like, it's segmented. So maybe these suits, just like that mech suit in Avatar that they're driving around in, maybe these mech suits, that's what they're in, is it's a segmented mech suit that can make you go invisible. Maybe it has the ability to make you run faster, jump higher, whatever it is. We already know that they're trying to build those suits to give the soldiers a little more, you know.
Or people that are even disabled.
Right. Maybe that's what we're seeing, is these mech suits is what's being used on other planets, and that's what they're here doing all this. Is they're not really truly, well, and like you said, okay, if you were going to raid an area, and like they say, you know, like, let's say they didn't know. Let's say me and you was fixing to raid Fort Worth, and Fort Worth had no idea about the fact of what we had. You know, why not make it look like something so preposterous that nobody was going to believe it?
Right.
You know, so they already like, look, we already know that they've got crazy bugs. Let's just make it look like a giant bug. It already kind of resembles it. Let's fashion the helmet and everything to, so if they do see it, it's so unbelievable that nobody will take it serious.
I mean, it would strike fear into people because look at our own culture has even done that. Like, you would look at like a samurai's mask, right? They'd make a Hanya mask where it looked like it had an evil grin on it.
Yep.
Like fighter planes will have like where it looks like a jaws, like a shark's mouth on the front of it. I mean, these are all things that are decorative.
Well, think of the Apaches or the Comanche.
Instill fear, yeah.
You know, all the native tribes would paint their faces in war paints.
Right,
and all that.
Yeah.
It's always been done.
So if you're trying to beef up an intimidation factor over this planet you're about to attack or annihilate, or like you were saying, or probing, you would probably want to make it as scary as possible.
I would. Yeah, for sure. So that's, I think there's more to it. And I think that, like, every time, as the further we go and discuss it and the further we look into it, I feel like we're kicking rocks over and we're finding out more stuff.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, folks, we'll wrap this show up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, man. The mantis being the insectoids, the reptilians, the Nordics. I like them all. I like the different, I don't know if they're different races, like if they're all from the same place. They just come in different shapes and forms and sizes. Or if they each come from different galaxies. I wonder if there's a war going on. Speaking of wars in space, I just went and watched The Rise of Skywalker with Luke. And
what'd you think?
I thought it was really good. I liked it. You know, when I was a kid, the first movies that came out, they were awesome. Yeah. And then when they started again with, what was the first one? The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, Phantom Menace.
And then it was like those three were kind of, they were too kid-friendly maybe. I don't know, but then these last three have been pretty good. So I liked it. I know that they're claiming that they didn't do as good in the box office as the previous two movies, and there's some people that either hate it or love it, but you know, but the same thing can be said about Game of Thrones. Same
you ain't
thing can
trying
be said,
to hear all that, are you?
Same thing can be said about The Sopranos. You know, every time something ends a series, and this is a long series, right? This is like a 42-year long series.
Yeah.
When it comes to an end, there's going to be people who will either like it or don't. I personally thought it was pretty good, and I was proud of Luke because he used the restroom before the movie started, and he waited to the end before it. And he went again, and in the movie's 2 hours and like 23 minutes. Most of the time, I'll tell you, when we take Luke to the movie theater, he just is feasting on popcorn and drinking Dr. Pepper like it's going out of style, because you just press the buzzer, right? And they'll bring you another one. They're endless, endless bowls. And he has to get up and use the bathroom like 6 times, and it's always at like a really key moment. You know, so here I've shelled out all the cash, taken the family to a movie, and I miss the most important parts because Luke...
He's got to go to the bathroom.
All the time. And I try to tell him, man, you don't have to drink it. At this point, he's not drinking because he's thirsty.
He's drinking it because he's afraid they're going to take it away from him. You're like, no, bro, we're good here.
Yeah, relax, relax. And he's going ham. And especially if his cousin Rhett's with him, there's popcorn flying. Like Luke yesterday, he brought his toys. He had a Stormtrooper toy with him.
So like he did when we went and watched Godzilla.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there was people coming into the theater. They were dressed up like Stormtroopers.
Is he going crazy?
I mean, the people were going nuts. It's a big deal. And so this is the end, I think, for at least this storyline.
Well, I'm going to watch it on Christmas. We're going Christmas Day that evening. Yeah, and we're going to go watch it.
You'll have to get with me. You'll like it.
I can't wait.
A couple months ago, I did a segment on the show about the Tic Tac UFO. You know, this thing that the USS Nimitz fleet encountered, and the pilot that flew the F-18 Hornet, Commander David Fravor, I had mentioned him, as well as a bunch of other guys that were in the ships and stuff around there who saw this. But he was one of the person that had the firsthand eyewitness account of this thing moving in the water, right?
Yeah.
Well, synchronicity, just a couple weeks after we did that episode, he was actually on the Joe Rogan Show, and Joe talked to him about his experience, and it was pretty interesting to say the least. But one part of the interview, he's not talking about the Tic Tac UFO. He's actually talking about a guy he met that was also in the Navy who had a truly bizarre experience. I think it was off the coast of Puerto Rico. Now, if you're not familiar, right off the coast of Puerto Rico is one of the deepest parts of the Atlantic Ocean. And we'll just have to play the clip. Give this a listen. I don't want to spoil it.
The story you told me about what was underwater with your other buddy, because is that okay?
Yeah. So It's amazing. It, you know, people come out of the woodwork when they figure out you've had this because now they don't feel alone. So I was working. I still do it, but I was doing oil and gas at the time on a contract. And one of the guys, the story came out, and he was a Navy helicopter pilot. And he comes in, he goes, dude, hey, can I talk to you, man? I go, what about? He goes, dude, I got to talk to you. And I said, what do you want to talk to me about? He says, dude, you know your UFO? He said, yeah. He goes, I had a similar experience. I said, what's that? He said, he was flying CH-53s, which is a big lift, heavy lift that the Marine Corps uses. The Navy uses it for certain things. And when they go off of, for the East Coast, they do a lot of shooting off of, at the time, it was off of Puerto Rico. We had Roosevelt Roads that they ended up closing. But he was flying out of there. And, you know, you got super clear Caribbean water. And they have these things, they're called BQMs. They fly around. And then when they're all done, because they'll fly towards the ships and the ship can, sorry about that, they can track with the radar. And then they also do in the, like the ships or submarines shoot torpedoes. They're called telemetry rounds. So they gather all the data on what the torpedo is doing underwater. And then they blow ballast and this thing will come to the surface and float. And then they go pick them up and then they can extract all the data out of them. So they do it for both. So he said the first time they're out and they're going to pick up this BQM. And those things, when they're flying, they're done, a parachute comes out and they got to go, they hook it up. The helo drops the swimmer in the water. He goes and hooks this whole thing up and then they hoist the whole thing up and fly back and then they extract the data. So he says he's sitting in the front, you know, in helicopters, there's, you know, CH-53, you can actually see down by your feet, you know, just like typical, like you go to Hawaii and ride, so, because you can see when you're touching down. So you got really good visibility out of those things and you can stick your head out the window too because you're just kind of hanging out. He says he's going on there and they're getting this thing hooked up. And as he's looking down, you know, because they're, I don't know what, 50 feet above the water, he sees kind of this dark mass coming up from the depths. And they start to hoist the diver up and they've got the BQM. And as they hoist it up, he says, and he's looking at this thing going, what the hell is that? And then it just goes back down underwater. It just like, once they pull the kid and the BQM out of the water, this object descends back into the depths. So he thinks, well, that was pretty weird. So he goes out, he says, not too long later, you know, a few months later, he's out and he's picking up a torpedo. So he says they hook the diver up on the winch and they're lowering him in. And as he's looking down, he sees this big, massive, he goes, it's not a submarine. He's seen submarines before. Once you see a submarine, you can't confuse it with something else. This big object, you know, kind of circular, he says, is coming up from the depths. And he starts screaming through the intercom system to tell him to pull the diver up. And the diver's like a few feet from the water. So they reverse the winch and the diver's thinking, what the hell's going on? And he's getting pulled up and all of a sudden he said the torpedo just got sucked down underwater and the object just descended back down into the depths and they never recovered the torpedo.
Jesus.
And this happened in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, I think it is. I could probably get in touch with him and ask him. And he told me this story and I'm like,
how do you report that?
You come in and go, well, where'd the torpedo go? It just got sucked down. It just went down, you know, and then you get the people that attribute it as, something happened when it blew ballast and it just took on water and sank. And he's like, it didn't sink. He goes, it literally looked like it got sucked down.
So what do you think of that?
I try not to.
Right?
Yeah.
This is one of those like USOs where this has been, people have been talking about this. And I remember hearing about it 20 years ago and I was like, these guys are crazy. But I mean, this,
it's funny that it went and got it.
Yeah, stole their telemetry rounds, their torpedoes or whatever. But something large, black, circular, coming up from the depths. I mean, that's something out of a science fiction movie. How scary that metal. But we talk about it all the time, though. If there's a place to hide on this planet, where better than the bottom of the ocean?
Well, and I also like the way that he kind of talked about it. He never says that it's biological. You know what I mean? Like, it's like it.
No, because
you can tell. He never brings it up because at least I don't remember hearing him say that it was or was not biological.
No, he never said that.
And it, you know why? Is because it never crossed his mind of it being biological. It's because it wasn't. You wouldn't make that a point unless it looked close and you knew it wasn't. He doesn't bring it up because he knows it's not biological. He knows that that was something mechanical, that was, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He talks about it in other places during the interview that several buddies of his, fly buddies, they've been seeing them in the Atlantic Ocean for years. It's kind of like, I don't want to say well known, but it's known amongst pilots out there.
To some people, it's well known, yeah.
And, you know, when you read about these stories of guys in submarines tracking things, guys in the Navy on ships seeing things. I mean, could it be possible?
Could it be?
Right, Giorgio Tsoukalos time. Is it possible? this year has been a big year with Bob Lazar coming out. I've always been fascinated with the Bob Lazar story. Mm-hmm. I never thought that he would ever come out. I read about him 25 years ago, you know, whatever. And he came out this year, was in that documentary that's on Netflix, I believe, still. He was interviewed by Joe. And then Commander Fravor comes out and tells his side of the story and then drops this little jewel about something coming up from the depths. I mean, this has been one of the most exciting years when it comes to ufology that I've experienced since we started this show, which is almost 7 years.
I'm right there with you. I'm been so excited about this whole thing.
I mean, like David Fravor, like we talked about on the episode about the Tic Tac. He's mm-hmm. an educated man. He's an F-18 pilot. He's a commander of the flight fleet he was dealing with.
Yeah.
He's been the top gun. He's got a reputation to uphold. Why would he come up and make all this up? Like, what would be the benefit? Just like we talked about with Bob Lazar. He's come back up. He's said numerous times he didn't gain financially from bringing this up. Why would they be making it up? I don't think that they are. And what's crazy to me, and I've asked you this just a couple episodes ago, shouldn't we be more freaked out about all this?
Shouldn't there be more people asking questions and demanding to know what's going on?
More people were talking about, like, the Masked Singer.
Yeah.
Than,
you know why I think
Element 115.
Because it's not a big deal. Because I think if you ask the majority of people, they've already made up their mind about this topic. And I don't think that they would – either you believe it and you don't have to think about it, or you don't believe it and there's nothing that they can show you that's going to make you believe it unless one of them knocks on your door.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think that's what it is.
Maybe.
I think that's the reason nobody – I mean, you think about it. You're only going to do things that affect you directly. This doesn't affect you directly. Right. You can't control it. And it's going to be if it affects you directly and you already don't have some skin in the game, well, then you're going to get involved.
Yeah. No, I agree.
These people don't. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, I don't know what that was bleeding into the background.
So I got it real quick. We got contacted by a very pretty young lady named Fiona. And she had reminded us. And so I'm going to go ahead and say happy birthday to our buddy Rory.
Oh, listen, this time of year.
Our Charlie Brown music. Oh, there we go. Now that's what I'm screaming.
Right?
So, Rory, happy belated birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday.
Thanks for being there for all these years. We also have coming up in a few weeks, our buddy Isaiah is going to be fighting over there in the Metroplex again. It's when it fights for Bellator.
Right.
But he's fighting, defending his belt in, I believe it's XKO. So he has a fight going on over there.
We'll have to see about getting him an expanded perspectives fight patch or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, you know, Bellator, unlike the UFC, you still can have sponsors.
You can still have some cool stuff. Yeah. Be fighting over there. And then you and I, with Christmas coming up, we'll do a few more shows. And then we get ready to head out on the hunt for the Mogollon Monster.
That's right. We're going to Arizona.
Yep. We'll head to Arizona. We'll do a little hunting. We'll do a lot of researching. We'll be doing a lot of walking. So, yeah, we'll be out there for a while.
I mean, what are you going to do if we're out there camping on the Mogollon Rim and all of a sudden you hear some kind of strange howl and you smell some foul odor?
Some squatch caster.
Yeah, right? Oh, we had a listener recently email me and I was talking about, you know, the Sasquatch, the Sasqueech.
Yeah.
She said a group of Sasquatch should be called Sasquads. I was like, that's perfect.
That is perfect.
Right?
Sasquad.
So, Sasquad. That's
a group of Sasquatch.
That's Sasquads.
I love it. I love it.
Well, you got all your Christmas shopping done?
Dude, I'm done.
Me too.
I'm done. I made sure to try to get as much done as I could early. I had one other thing I wanted to get my wife, and literally I was getting ready to leave to go buy it the other day. And she was like, hey, you know, I said such and such I wanted for Christmas. Oh, I don't want that now. And I was like, score. I don't have to leave and go get it.
Well, I'm perfect. We've been getting stuff dropped off on our front porch for weeks now from this Amazon.
Funny. I know where you're going with this. This is funny.
You know, all the time. And almost all of, well, I would say all of it up until me, because I'm a dummy. The Amazon packages are delivered in their brown, plain Amazon packages, except for one. I got my wife something and they delivered that sucker and it was just in the box. So you could see on it what was in there and everything. So she saw it, of course, because she pulls them in off the porch and puts them in the house so people don't steal them. And I was like, well, I guess you know what one of your gifts you're getting. I only got you three, so.
That's all you got.
That's me. And she's like, well, you know, dummy, if you read down there, it'll tell you it doesn't come. I'm like, look, anybody who knows me, I'm not reading a bunch of descriptions. I'm not reading a manual.
This man does not read instructions.
I look at it. I click it. It says place to order. I punch that. That's it. I'm not reading a novel. I'll think about it when I get it. So apparently it tells you. So
she asked, didn't you know? And you said, obviously I didn't.
Yeah.
As you can tell by the box, obviously I didn't know.
Right. Well, yeah. Are you going out of town or anything?
No, we're going to have Christmas here at my house. We like to host Christmas. We've already done Christmas, of course, with the rest of the family. We do that always the weekend before Christmas. So it'll just be like our immediate family will be over here. We're doing a brunch. So everybody's going to show up and we're going to have, what are we having now that bring up quiche? We're having a bunch of quiches, which why can't they just say omelets?
Man,
we got, well, you got to, oh,
cheese.
We really got to church this up. We got to really fancy up this. All you're talking about is an omelet. You're going to throw some crap into some eggs and cook it, and that's it.
French cuisine. You have a problem with French cuisine, sir? Don't you ever go to La Madeleine's?
No. No. I have a lot of problems with a lot of things, but calling an omelet quiche is one of them.
I got you. Well,
you know what I'm saying? That's all it is.
Everybody out there listening, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Expanded Perspectives family. For God's sakes, be careful out there this holiday season. If you have too many to drink, get you an Uber, get you a Lyft, get you
go easy on the eggnog.
Yeah, just be safe. We want everybody to come back and we can share more of these stories. If you have any stories of your own, please email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Or you can call the show 817-945-3828. Let's not forget about our sponsors, Native. If you want 20% off your first purchase, go to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code EXPANDED during checkout. And also CBS, check out the show Evil.
Evil.
CBS All Access, CBS.com, or On Demand. It's a great series. My wife's already a big fan of it. She told me about that this morning, so go check that out. For Pretty Lights, Inner Tradition Books, New Page Books, Llewellyn Books, and Ancient American Magazine, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Kim Hale.
Merry Christmas, y'all.